Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So amen and amen. Thank God for your listening. Wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again on this blessed day that, again, you have caused us to assemble together. Therefore, Lord, now, God, we know we don't come in vain, and we know where two or three are gathered together in your name that you are in the midst. So, therefore, Lord God, we are in need right now of a touch of your Spirit and a release from the Holy Ghost. Father, we are in need of understanding of your word. Help us to discern truth. Help us to be able to discern the difference between the clean and the unclean. In Jesus' name, Lord, word my mouth that it may bring glory and honor to your name. Touch the ears of the listeners and their hearts that they may take what they have heard back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank God for another blessed day. We are on our last section of this series on this religion that's called Spiritism. And we are dealing with the last section here. And it is titled Spiritualist, Reincarnation, Divine Judgment, Eternal Progress, Miracles. Glory be to God. This will be a five-part series. And this is once again the final series on this religion of Spiritism. And the Lord say the same, we will be going on to another religion. But we're going to talk about what Spiritism or the Spiritists believe concerning these topics here, reincarnation, divine judgment, eternal progress, and miracles. We're going to talk about that. And once again, I want to stress to you, here's the importance of this too. First of all, to you that are Christians, and God has given me breath in my body and the chance to go into these things, because you need to know when you're going out on the mission field, you're going to meet, okay? So understand this. You're going to meet people of different religions, okay? That's going to happen. You know, if you're stepping out on the field. Now, many of y'all, be honest with you, you ain't thinking about doing field ministry. You think you're supposed to just sit at the house. Well, I got news for you. Whether you're a man or a woman, the great commission that's been given to you is to spread the gospel. Now, you may say, hey, I could do that at home. Well, to a degree, you can, but God didn't tell you to stay at home. At some point or another, you're going to have to go out. Do you hear what I'm saying? And when you come across these other religions, you need to know how to minister the word to them. And you need to understand that there are going to be some things that they say that sound like it's of God. Like I told you and shared with you a little bit, I think it was on the last series in dealing with Spiritism here, that when you look on their websites about Spiritualists, they're actually telling you that they're continuing with the teachings of Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. They actually tell you that. Now, if you just take that at face value because they mention the name Christ, And that's what the problem with some of us as Christians, we have become so naive that you ain't got to really show and prove nothing to us. All that you had to do is say God, Jesus, or Christian, and you got us. We'll go out to other people and talk to other people about you and say, hey, you a Christian, you of God. When your doctrines and beliefs could be talking about God and blaspheming him. Why is that? Because we don't search. We don't do what the Word of God tells us to do in that area especially. Seek the Scriptures, okay? And you're going to have people have these other religions. And see, here's the thing about it. Satan is over these other religions. And if you think he just going to have them sitting at the house, okay, with these religions and not try to go out and, quote, recruit people, then you're naive, okay? So why not be rooted in the Word so you can stand? Now, I'm here to tell y'all, we're living in this time now, people, that there's going to be some stuff that's said to you, it's going to sound so much real like God, you ain't going to know what to do. And if you not rooted in that Word, and the Word will help you properly discern between the true and the false. If you're not rooted, you're going to be deceived. I could testify personally. I've heard some things about people that to me sounded a whole lot like, oh, man, this is God. And it turned out it wasn't. I'm telling you, your adversary Satan is very cunning. I'm not trying to glorify him. I'm trying to tell you to watch out for him and don't underestimate him. That's what I'm telling you. And see, the problem is we're underestimating. And we think we don't have to do what God said when he said, study to show thyself approved. Meditate on his word day and night. We think that was just words that God didn't have nothing else to do, so he just up and said something. Well, many of you finna find out in this end time why he said what he said. Okay? Amen. Because you finna start following some stuff and you're going to be like, man, I sure thought that was God. Man, I thought this was really God. And you're going to find out it ain't. Amen. You're going to find out it's not. You know, Paul speaks of this day in the Bible. He said a perilous time is dangerous. It's evil. Okay? This is not the time to be taking God for granted. This is not the time to be taking his word for granted and saying, I ain't got to do it, or I put it off today and then I put it off for tomorrow, and tomorrow coming, you're saying that again. I'm telling you, as a word of warning, you can heed it, you cannot. That's your decision. But I'm telling you what I know. You're going to find out that, hey, you know, the hard way if you don't, because, like I said, these people in these religions, they're going to say, and one thing else I want you to notice, too, if you ever do a study, too, personally yourself on these religions, which shows you how Satan operates. Satan would take some truth, but he twists it. He always mixes. This is why God tells us to go by his word, and we need to go by the pureness of his word. Don't mix it. See, Satan would take some truth, and he'll mix it. See, some of the stuff you read about these religions, they'll say, and it's starting off, it'd be some truth. But then as you keep reading what they connected to, you find out, you like, say, what? See, that's how they get a lot of people. They'll start off with a little truth, and people be going, yeah, I heard that before. And when they keep on going, the person they tell, they cuss off the rest of what's being said. They tune into what was said early, and they thinking, oh, this is God. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, so I want to open tonight. Once again, this subject is spiritualist, reincarnation, divine judgment, eternal progress, miracles. This is a five-part series, okay? And glory be to God. I want to open up about what the spiritualist says. It's going to be concerning reincarnation. This is the first thing I want to deal with here and give you concerning their place concerning reincarnation, okay? And I want you to hear this. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray that you will really pay close attention to what is being said here. Now, I'm going to read to you. And when I want to sum it up to you is that they believe in reincarnation. They do. They believe in reincarnation. And this is what they says here from their spiritualist manual, 1940, Philosophy of Spiritualism. Now, here it is. They said, man is a spiritual being, which that's true, evolved from the lower forms of life, up through the period of consciousness to the state of higher moral and spiritual faculties, which survive unaffected the decomposition of the physical body. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. Something else they said in connection with that. They says matter being part of the creative force or energy. Now, once again, I ask that you pay close attention to this. They said matter being part of the creative force or energy cannot be destroyed. It merely changes its form. Spirit, as part of the creative force, is therefore indestructible. On the death of the physical body, the spirit continues as an integral part of the spirit world. The spirit world interpenetrates this material world, but in a different dimension. In spirit life, we have a spirit body, which, until we progress far enough, is a replica of our earthly body. Notice they said, until we progress far enough, okay? So the spirit body is a replica of the earthly body until you progress, which means what? It could change. Individuals in the spirit world remain the same individual with the same personalities and characteristics. Individuals in the spirit world only progress through their own efforts. Now, glory be to God. Notice that a couple things in there that I read to you from this research. Number one, they said man is a spiritual being evolved from the lower forms of life. Now, throughout this, the spiritism and the different churches, they all have in common that they believe in reincarnation, even though they word it differently. At one point, they was believing that in this reincarnation thing, we started from coming from, notice they said the lowest forms of life, animals, and then we became human beings. Okay? Do you hear that? In another aspect of them showing you that they believe in reincarnation, now, for those who've been listening, there was one part of the series I did here on spiritualists, and I talked to you about one of their well-known leaders. I think his name was Marcus Barmanel, I think that's how you pronounce it. I want to get it right. I think his name, yes, Maurice Barmanel. And remember what I told you, that he's supposed to be, quote, well-known among the spiritualist circle. And they say he helped so many people. And all of a sudden, you know, and he told them all his information he got in helping people and all that stuff came from a one named Silver Birch. Now, remember, I told you that they said Silver Birch lived, get this, over 3,000 years ago. And he came back as a Native American Indian. So that means before he was someone else. So overall, spiritism or spiritualists believe in reincarnation. Okay? Yeah, they believe in reincarnation. They may word it differently throughout their, quote, churches, but they believe in reincarnation. Now, let me define to you what reincarnation means. Reincarnation means or known as rebirth or transmigration, is the philosophical or religious belief that the non-physical essence of a living being begins a new life in a different physical form or body after biological death. Okay? So in other words, many of those that believe in reincarnation, they believe a person can come back as another person, or and many times someone believes you come back as an animal, or you was an animal, quote, in another life, and you come back as a human. But see, all this is wrapped up in this spiritualism, okay? Hallelujah. Now, in this part tonight, we're looking at first witnesses, because I told you it's a five-part series, and I tend to bring five witnesses before you to show you how this is not of God. So the first witness concerning this reincarnation thing, to show you that it's not true, let's go to Psalms chapter 78, the book of Psalms chapter 78. The book of Psalms chapter 78. And we're going to look at verse 38 and 39. The book of Psalms chapter 78, verse 38 and verse 39. Glory be to God. The book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 38 and 39. Now, look what God said about, and he's dealing with the children of Israel who tempted him in the wilderness. Verse 38 said, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh." Okay, do you see that? "A wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Do you hear that? So once you're completely and you're dead, you ain't coming back, okay, as something or someone else, okay? Do you see that? Hallelujah. They're like, the word says, you know, God knew that they were like wind, okay? They're like wind that cometh, so that passes away and cometh not back, okay? People, there are not people who have died 10 and 20 years ago and coming back as a certain another person. That's not true. That's not of God. That's reincarnation. Reincarnation not of God. That is not God's plan, how he set it up. Once you die, that's it. Okay. Once you are gone completely, that is it. Once you have died, okay. Hallelujah. And completely going to the hereafter, that's it. You're not coming back. That's why I you know, share with you all that these teachings about them, you got people say, "Well, I saw the dead woman used to live there 20 years ago, or my auntie, she came back to me," and all that. That's not your auntie, okay? That's not your auntie. See, in the plan of God, God's plan is set up that once you die, you go to the place that is in line with the type of spirit that you was, or spiritual condition you was in. And that's heaven or hell, okay? You're not going into the afterlife and then coming back here, you know, as someone else or something else, okay? Amen. So God said here that, here, this is the word of God. He said they was like wind that passeth away and come not again. So once they dead, that's it. Ain't no coming back again, okay? Amen. Glory be to God. Remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, "You must be born again." What did Nicodemus say? "Be born again? What, you got to go through your mother's womb a second time?" Amen. No. Jesus let you know, no, none of that. Okay. Amen. Now, let's look at the next thing, what they deal with, and it is dealing with divine judgment. Okay. First of all, let's define the word divine once again. And according to Webster, the word divine means proceeding directly from God or is a God, okay? Proceeding directly from God or is a God, okay? The word judgment means the final judging of humankind by God, and it also means a divine sentence or decision, okay? Hallelujah. So when we're talking about divine judgment or judgment here, we're talking about a sentence that comes from God or God doing the judging, okay? So based on that, I want to read to you what they have to say in this manner. Glory be to God. Thank God for the word of God here. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. There's none greater than him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to read to you, you know, what they have to say on dealing with on this subject here. And like I said, it's very important. I pray that, you know, you would listen to this closely. Okay. Glory be to God. Now, here's one of the things that they said here. And I want you to hear this closely. Okay. And then I'm going to tell you also the third thing to this, what they say. Okay. They said, good deeds springing from a good heart have a creative force in building pleasant abodes in spirit life. And conversely, the sinful create their own unhappy habitations. Okay. The sinful create their own. Okay. The wicked must compensate for their evil deeds here or hereafter and attain a state of justice before they are prepared to enter upon the path which leads to spiritual happiness and progression. That's very, very interesting. They also says, as you sow, so shall you reap. The compensatory or retributive effects of this law operate now. They do not wait until life in the spirit world. Now, in other parts, when you look on their website, they also said that in dealing with in the hereafter, that you're going to judge yourself. So notice that in all the information I read to you, there was no mention about God judging. There's no mention about divine judgment. They don't believe in divine judgment. Remember, as I share the information with you, they believe God is a creative force. And many parts of them believe that when you die and, quote, go into the hereafter, you're going to judge yourself. And as I read to you, and one of the things they said that as you sow, you shall reap. Now, that's in the Bible, right? Amen. But it goes on to say the compensatory or retributive effects of this law operate now. They do not wait until life in the spirit world. Now, here's what we understand as I go into the scripture about divine judgment. Yes, it is true. Whatsoever man sow, he reap. And that reaping does have two places, here on earth, and then there's a reaping in the hereafter. Okay, they're saying in one sense that you're only going to reap now, and then in one sense through their what they call their spiritualist manual, they talked about how the wicked must compensate for their evil deeds, but the sinful make their own unhappy habitation. So all this thing is excluding God for passing any judgment. Do you hear what I'm saying? It excludes God. It excludes God, okay? So let's look at, and I want to take you to the book of Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Acts chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look at verse 30 and 31. In fact, let's go to 29, verse 29 and verse 31. The book of Acts chapter 17, verse 29 to verse 31. Okay? And let's look at here and watch what the word of God says. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he, who is the he, God, okay, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Talking about Jesus. Did you hear that? So God has appointed a day. Has appointed a day to what? To judge. That's divine judgment, people. That's judgment coming from God, okay? Do you hear that? So they got you thinking that you're just going to judge yourself and you know, and then you give your little self a slap on the wrist, and then you're going to go and progress to something good. That's in the hereafter. See, God spoke the law of judgment, okay? Whatsoever man sow, he shall reap, that come from the Lord, okay? Not man making up his own thing and setting his own thing. Divine judgment, there is divine judgment, okay? Judgment that comes from God. And it's sad to say in our Christian, quote, circles, we don't want to teach people about that. And we're Christians. Sad. We don't want to talk about curses that come from God. And when I say curse from come from God, what I mean is that sickness is not in God's possession. But when God says a curse, that means he's moved his hand back from holding back that thing which is a curse. That's when he do it, move his hand back. Okay? Glory be to God. And he permit him. That's of his doing. Okay? But see, we don't want to talk about the judgment of God. Amen. And see, God spoke of the judgment that is to happen in the life hereafter. Hell and the lake of fire and brimstone. Divine judgment. Yes, God does judge people. And he said what? He was to judge the world. Who is the world? The inhabitants on this planet. Who inhabit these planets? Saved and unsaved people. So saved and unsaved people is going to be judged by God. Period. You don't get to set your own thing, okay? See, spiritualists want to have you to believe this stuff. Then they tell you, well, the law of sowing and reaping operate now and don't wait in the hereafter. Yeah, it operates now and it operates in the hereafter too. Okay, amen. Both places. Glory to God. But yes, God does have and will give judgment. He's not absent and just leaving. You know, Satan tried to get man to make you, you know, to say that God had just left everything to man. God ain't in the picture. He don't do nothing. But that ain't of God. Hallelujah. That's not of God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at the third thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And this third thing I want to look at is what is referred to as eternal, or what they progress, what they refer to as eternal progress is open to every human soul. Yeah, to every human soul. Now you say, well, what's the deal on that? What do they mean? Eternal process is open to every human soul, okay? Let me read a little research to you on this and talk to you about what it means. Glory be to God. And like I said, you can study this for yourself. In fact, I want you to do it, even though I'm giving you this research. Now, listen to this out of their what they call spiritualist manual, again, on this subject about where they say every soul, eternal progress is open to every human soul. Every human soul. Eternal progress is open to every human soul. So let me give to you what they're talking about. Okay, listen to this. They said, every human soul born into life is a child of God, and the opportunity, and the reason why they call them a child of God, once again, because they said since everybody is from this creative force, then God's the father of all, and man is a one divine family. Okay. Now, they say every human soul born into life and to life is a child of God, and the opportunity for development will come at some time, be realized and taken advantage of by each one. Now, here it is. Spiritualism proclaims the doorway to reformation is never closed against any soul here or hereafter. Now, what's reformation dealing with? A change. Okay? A change. I want you to keep on listening as they said more. They said, every human spirit, okay, every human spirit has the power to progress in wisdom and love. The rate of progress is directly proportional to the desire for mental and spiritual understanding. Each spirit always has the opportunity to reform or change and to deal with the wrong things it has done in the past. Okay? Hallelujah. So, even in the hereafter, you have a chance to change. Let's look at this a little bit deeper here. Let's go to a witness from the scripture that speaks against it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. And I want you to hear what the angel of the Lord said to John the Revelator. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. And this, then we're going to put it all together. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. Okay? Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look what the word of God says. This is what the angel said to John the Revelator. I'm going to start at verse 10 and go to verse 11. He said, and he say unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. You see the still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, so in other words, wherever your condition spiritually were that you were here on earth, when you go into the hereafter, that's what you're going to be in the hereafter. So if you was wicked here, when you go in the hereafter, you're going to be wicked. You're going to be in the same wickedness spiritual condition in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, you have no chance to change to something better, to progress, as they say. Do you get what I'm saying? See, that's what they talk about. Every human soul can progress. That's why when I read to you, and I'm going to read it again, when they said good deeds springing up from a good heart have a creative force in building pleasant abodes in spirit life, and conversely, the sinful create their own unhappy habitations. The wicked must compensate for their evil deeds here or hereafter and attain a state of justice before they are prepared to enter upon the path which leads to spiritual happiness and progression.
Do you hear that? In other words, they have a chance in the hereafter to change from wickedness to what? To good. When the scripture told us in Revelation, he that is filthy, let him be what? Filthy still. He that is holy, let him be what? Holy still. See, what you do here on earth, what you do here, your condition, your spiritual condition here on earth sets where you, your course in the hereafter. You ain't going to be wicked here on earth, and then you go die and hit the hereafter, go into a little what they call state of justice, and then you're going to progress onto something better and change. It ain't none of that, people. If you could do that, there's no need of you preaching the gospel here. What are we going to preach the gospel of repentance for to people? It wouldn't be no need of preaching that. Why we tell people why they're here on this earth, repent, if you can change or progress in the hereafter? It wouldn't make no sense. See, Satan is using man, coming up with all these strange and twisted and weird doctrines, and really what it is to put down the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. And it really is to say, you don't need that, the doctrine of Christ. You don't need to do that. Just do your own thing. So overall, they tell you, said man judges himself. And then man says all this in the hereafter. Man, see, it's man doing it. God is just excluded. You get what I'm saying? God is excluded. He's excluded from judging. You name it. He's excluded. Everything man does, okay? Man chooses this. Man chooses what he wants to do in the hereafter. And he chooses his state, and then he goes on to progress, and then he can come back as a donkey or mule or as another person. Come on, people. Come on now. Lord help us. And we're talking about tolerating stuff for the sake of love. You know, God said love all men. Well, he ain't talking about that kind of love where you accept these kind of doctrines of devils and man-made doctrines. He ain't talking about that ain't what love is dealing with. But see, some of us as Christians, we won't stand, so we want to be quiet and keep our mouth closed. I'm not talking about you going and sitting up there and arguing with everybody. I'm not talking about that. But the word of God said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You think they're going to back down from telling you that the true teachers of Christ is false? No. So why is you going to back down? Why is you going to sit down and not stand for the faith? We're spending more time with our knees knocking together, you know, shaking and scared, than we are standing for the faith. Talking about, I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to make nobody mad. I just want to be in love. Why these religions is going out there planting these evil seeds in the minds of people, in the hearts of people, while many of us as Christians is sitting back in our rockers and our recliners and talking about, I just don't want to offend nobody because I want to do like Jesus said. I want to walk in love. That ain't the love of God, people. Jesus let you know what love is. If you don't want one that is stumbling, okay, or in sin, you don't want them. And he died. He said, that blood is going to be on your head. Amen. You see somebody walking and they don't know they're going to fall off the cliff. What you going to do? Stand there with your arm folded and keep your mouth closed? Or are you going to try to warn and say, hey, that cliff in the end is going to fall. You're going to fall off? Or you just going to stand there and say, oh, I don't want to say nothing to him because I might offend him. I don't want to offend him. And he walking all along chasing, hey, this cliff will never end. I can walk on and on and on. And you look in there and you see that this cliff is going to end. If he keep walking, he's going off the cliff to his death. And you're going to go, I better not say nothing. I'm just going because I don't want to offend him. I want to do like Jesus said. I want to love everybody. Okay, then. Jesus said that blood going to be on your hand. Love everybody. It's going to be on your hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I want to look at the fourth and final thing tonight. Like I said, to this series, we right now tonight, we're looking at first witnesses on these four things, okay? And so the fourth thing I want to look at is what they say concerning miracles, okay? Concerning miracles. Let me give you the definition of the word miracle. The definition of the word miracle from Webster. And the word miracle means an extraordinary event manifesting divine interventions in human affairs. I think I'm going to read that again. Just in case when I read it, you know, little Ray Ray or Susie start hollering, mama, daddy, real loud, and you got distracted, and now you go back, what did he say? Let me read it again. The word miracle means an extraordinary event manifesting divine interventions in human affairs. In other words, an extraordinary event where God intervening in human affairs. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to give to you something that they have said on this at one time before, once again in their what's called spiritualist manual. Okay? I want you to hear what was said concerning miracles. Okay? It said, miracle means something done in defiance of natural law. Therefore, there are no miracles. The demonstrations you speak of can be manifest today by our sensitives. Well, who are their sensitives? Their sensitives is another name for their mediums, okay? By the application of perfectly natural forces when necessary conditions for such manifestations are provided. So they believe that what we look at as miracles, where God intervened concerning human affairs, they said there are no miracles, and they said what we're talking about, they can get it through their mediums. You know, that's their people that communicate with the dead on the behalf of other people. In other words, the people that operate in these demonic powers. They said, we can get that, what y'all talking about, through them. Interesting, ain't it? Amen. But they'll tell you that there is no miracle. In other words, there is no the true God intervening and doing for humans. That's what they're telling you. Okay? Like I said, people, they're not doing like some of us are doing. Just being quiet and talking about, I just don't want to make them upset. They're not doing like some of us are doing, okay? They're not doing that. They're gonna come out and tell you straight what they think. Well, let's look at Psalms chapter 77. Psalms chapter 77. Going to the book of Psalms. And at first, I want to look at two scriptures on that. First, I go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews first, and these two scriptures are going to tie together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Now, let's look at that, and then we're going to go to Psalms chapter 77. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, okay? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Now, look what the Word of God says here. Jesus Christ, the same, what? Yesterday and today and forever. Do you see that? So Jesus is the same in all three tenses. When we talk about time, time normally go under three tenses, past, present, and future. So the Word of God is saying that Jesus is the same, whether it's the past, present, or future. Okay? He don't change. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 77. The book of Psalms chapter 77. The book of Psalms, chapter 77. And let's look at verse 14. The book of Psalms, chapter 77, verse 14. Okay? Now, look what the Word of God says here. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou art the God that doeth wonders. That word wonders in original Hebrew means miracles. Do you see that? God does miracles. And since Hebrews say he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, if he did miracles then, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Put it together now. Guess what? He's doing it today. Amen. He's doing it today. But see, the spiritualists, they want to deny the true and living God doing miracles. See, they want to deny that. And they say he ain't doing miracles. But what we talk about is dealing miracles. Hey, we can get that through our mediums. Might well say through their witches. They're witches and warlocks that communicate with these dead, these evil spirits that get power from them. Okay? They say we can get that through them. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So they don't fully believe in what we know as miracles. And everything, they talking about, you know, the nature and the natural, okay? And then they say, well, what y'all talking about, we can get that from our mediums. Amen. See, listen, when you do the study on these religions, they always denying Christ. How can you live? Now, we be talking about, now, the world's phrase, if I can say it, is that we all on this earth need to live in harmony. Well, that do sounds good. Okay, I mean, it sounds good. I'm not against living in harmony, but here's the thing. You cannot live fully in harmony. When all these religions, all these different religions and doctrines, you're not going to be able to fully live in harmony. I'm just going to be honest with you. You're not. Give you a great example. Heaven. Do you think that there are people in heaven that believe that there is no God? Do you think God is letting that kind of teaching and belief going on in heaven? Do you think God is letting that teaching or belief that Jesus is nothing? Do you think he's letting that go in heaven? No. Do you think that God is embracing all these teachings of these religions in heaven? Emphatically, once again, no. So if Almighty God is not embracing all these religions, and the number one thing he wants embraces his gospel, how you think you're going to fully be in harmony? This world, in the condition it's in, could never be fully in true harmony. Not the harmony of God. It's not happening. Okay? The true peace is going to come. For example, you know, the Word of God talks about the millennial reign. That's going to be some true peace there. Worldwide. Because I'll be under Christ. Okay? The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's going to be true harmony. See, this stuff that the world called peace and harmony is not real peace and harmony. Okay? The world called peace and harmony say, hey, we can do good together. I honor your God and you honor my God. That's what the world called peace and harmony. That is not what God called peace and harmony. True peace and harmony is all those that are one in him. That's why all this stuff that's going on today, the only people that's going to have true peace is the true believers. The true believers, the true faithful, the faithful in Christ is going to be the ones that are going to have the true peace. Okay? Not people that doing yoga and doing this meditation and evil, no. But true believers in Christ, they're going to be the ones that are going to have the true peace. All this stuff going on. So you got people now hollering, saying, well, you know, the world going to get better. No, it's not. Now, you can call me doomsday
prophet, I don't care. No, it ain't. Because the world is thus far in the condition of rejecting Christ, there is no way that you're going to get better. You know, I was just looking at the news a little bit today, was that fighting they got going over there in Israel. I mean, you got some country that say, hey, we want to do a ceasefire thing. And that ceasefire lasts for very little time. Next thing you know, they back fighting again. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times it don't take much to get them back to fighting. Why? Because in their hearts, it really wasn't a ceasefire. They put it on paper, but in their hearts, it wasn't really a ceasefire. So many times they looking for any little thing to break the contract, okay, and go back to fighting again. Amen. So God is doing miracles today. He is the God of miracles. It is not spiritualism. It is not mediums. Don't believe that. And they tell you, say, well, our mediums do miracles. Those mediums operate on demonic power. You understand that? Hallelujah. Because, see, Satan does not really have the power to give life. He can only kill. That's why when you're thinking that dead grandma's back, that's why it is a demon disguise. Because Satan can't give life. He can't give life, okay? He can take life, but he can't give it. That's why Jesus said he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you may have what? May have life. So Jesus telling you the difference between him and Satan is that Jesus can give life. Satan can't give life. Okay? And so true miracles, you know, is performed by God. And the stuff that Satan does is always a trick. You know, it's not the miracle works of God. Satan operates under demonic power. See, Satan is a copycat. God can always do something that Satan can't do because why? Satan is a copycat. His powers is underneath the power of God, okay? Now, some of you may say, well, hey, didn't the magicians of Moses and them, during Moses and them time, didn't they throw the rods down and became a snake? Sure did. But Moses threw down his rod, what, it swallowed up them, okay? But I'm talking about true intervention God can do. And see, these spiritualists want you to think that the demonic powers of Satan does what we call as the miracles, okay? But the overall miracle doer is God intervening in human affairs, okay? Satan has power to do certain things, but get this, the word of God does not call him omnipotent. It calls God omnipotent. Omnipotent means all powerful. Satan is not called omnipotent. He is not all powerful. His power is limited, okay? He cannot overpower God, okay? Amen. See, Jesus, he can be a slew of devils in a place. Jesus can walk in there and watch who run, okay? Just sit back and watch who takes out running. If there was a slew of demons in a place, says there was a house full of demons, and Jesus walks in that house. Watch who run. I mean, Jesus can walk in there by himself. He don't need no angels to accompany him. Jesus walking in that house, it can be 10,000 demons in that house. They all going to tear that house up, try to get out. And that's just how much power the Lord Jesus got. You ain't going to see all 10,000 of them demons say, hey, we got them out number 10,001. They're jumping. No, them demons, they dumb, but they know where the real power lies. So they'll take off running. Amen. Because they can't take the glory of God
it hurts them. Okay? And guess what? Here's the kicker. Ain't nothing they can do about it. And they have no solution for it and would never get a solution for it. Okay? No solution whatsoever. Amen. So we was looking at first witnesses tonight. You do those four things. Lord said the same tomorrow night we would come with part two, second witnesses. Okay? Because like I said, Lord said to say, I'm going to bring five witnesses before you. Okay? Concerning these four things. And this is the last series of this religion here of spiritism. But see, I want you to understand it because you have to understand, and as I told you before, some of them spiritists on the website, they're saying we're continuing with the teachings of Christ. We have told you many times on the broadcast a warning that they're using not only God, the name God or Christian, but they are going to use Jesus Christ. And I've seen on the website, on some of their websites, where they're actually saying we are continuing with the teachings of Christ. They've actually said it, people. And see, if you are the type that you don't search up nothing, you're going to be easy bait. Some of us are already easy bait as it is because, once again, like I said before, only thing they have to holler out is Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and we'll run like a deer and tell everybody, oh, they saved. They're God's people. Why? Because they say they believe in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, just like today, you have some of these stars, Hollywood stars, say, oh, I'm saved, I'm this and that. And people just jumping and, you know, oh, they say this and that. And they forget the scripture where Jesus said you should know them by their fruits. And see, anybody know concerning fruit in the tree, a fruit just don't automatically pop up on the tree. It comes over time. So Jesus said, hey, just sit back and watch. And over time, the true fruit going to come out, whether it's good or corrupt. Now, some things, there's sometimes where the Spirit of God give you the witness of the Spirit of some things up front. But other than that, if you ain't got it and you don't know whether to say yay or nay, remember the scripture, you should know them by their fruit, and sit back and watch. And that fruit is going to come out on that tree. And if it's a good fruit, hey, good fruit going to come out. If it's corrupt fruit, you'll see it. But remember, it takes time for fruit to form on a tree. Okay? So it ain't going to just, if you had a plum tree and you planted it, and you think when you get up in the morning, You looking for the whole tree to be full of palms, well, guess what? You're going to be one disappointed person. But it's going to come, but it's going to be over a period of time. Amen. So we've been looking at part one tonight of spiritualist, reincarnation, divine judgment, eternal progress, and miracles. And giving to you their stance on this, okay? Now, they say in some of their churches, it varies. Well, I noticed that on different, looking at their different sites on the same subject, they vary in their wording. Because that's why, you know, when you're dealing with people, especially these other religions, you have to pay close attention to what they say and listen to their wording. Because if you just took it at face value, their wording would sound very good. And you will be thinking, oh, these people got to be of God because they said this and that. But see, when you're listening closely, you're going to dissect and see, do that really mean what they're saying? Is that a good thing that they're saying? And many times when you dissect it and really listen to what they're saying, you'll find out a lot of time they have a lot of hidden words in there. And when you catch the hidden words, you go, oh, no, that ain't that. Ain't what they did. Oh, they saying something different. So it's just like what they say about God. Well, they speak about God. And once again, if you didn't never, you know, research, you're thinking they're talking about Almighty God. But see, they're talking about God as a creative force. So they're not talking about the Almighty God that me and you, many of you know, they talking about some creative force, okay? You know, like the Jehovah's Witness who think that the Holy Spirit is just a force and not a person, okay? And so they use the word, we believe in spirit, you know, and you have to really listen to their wording where they say that to really understand that they're not talking about the Holy Ghost, the true Holy Ghost, okay? They're talking about a force. Amen. So we want to keep in mind, people, that God is expecting to not be naive. In fact, he told us in the book of John in the back, the Bible, that, hey, you know, believe not every spirit. In other words, don't be naive, okay? And I think that many of us did not heed what he said, and many of us are naive. We just believe, you know, anything that's told to us, we believe it, okay? As long as it's God name attached to it, Jesus, Christian, you name it, are we all in? 4 feet, you name it, we all in there, okay? My prayer for myself personally, Lord, is to help me to learn more about you, because we're going to need it, people. There's going to be more, and I want to say this message before I close. There's going to be more demonic manifestations. And get this, I'm not talking about just outside. There are going to be more demonic manifestations in church services. Now, some of y'all may not believe this, but it's true. Because why? There's so many open doors in the churches, okay, that there have been practices going on in many of the churches that are demonic. And people, there have been people in the church, especially some of the leaders, instead of them searching it out to see if it's of God, they just accept it because this person that's operating in it, they know the person. And see, it is opening the door for demonic spirits. There have been, I'm telling you, in many of these churches that claim to be of God, there's a practice of magic, okay? Witchcraft. And so it's going to be more demonic manifestations in these last days, okay? And there's going to be more things said in these services that's going to sound like it's of God, but it won't be. And only those that are really into the scriptures and rooted is going to catch it. And they're going to be persecuted by people who hadn't catched or won't catch it, because the people that's going to be persecuting them going to say, oh, y'all are troublemakers. You trying to get something started. Ain't nothing wrong with that person. They is of God. So the people that's going to catch it is going to get persecuted by the people that don't catch it. Okay? I'm letting you know what's happening. So this is why it's very important on a personal level for yourself first, that you try to learn as much as the Word of God as you can. And I always get at that point where you can search things out. Now, once again, sometimes there are certain things the Holy Ghost will witness to you up front. But for the most part, a lot of time, God wants you to search it. Okay? Because if he says something to us all the time, up front, all the time, we will know how to exercise our faith. Because as I told you before, one of the things we don't talk about in the Christian circle is the faith to study. We talk about getting faith for healing, faith for financial blessing, faith for God to do this and faith to do that. But how many sermons have you heard about faith in study? You don't know how to hear that, do you? It's about as scarce as it is by teaching a patience. Okay? If there's two things I say that's very rarely taught and spoke about in the churches, is patience and this subject about faith when you study, okay? Because, you see, faith motivates your whole Christian walk. So you got to have faith even when you study. Faith to diligently seek him, to go into the scriptures, to research, to look up, to meditate. All that, your faith is involved. If you don't have faith, guess what happens? You ain't going to meditate. You ain't going to search it up. You're not going to do that. I don't care if you get upset and get offended and want to throw rocks at me. If you're not in the faith concerning studying, you're not going to do it. Because remember, the God faith doesn't depend on our feelings. And you might start studying a subject and you might not get nothing for a week. But long as you're diligently seeking the scriptures, that's by faith. And you sowing that by faith, God said you're going to reap it, okay? But you got to put in the work first. But if you're not in the faith concerning study, you're not going to do it. Simple as that. You're not going to do it. Amen. Because you're going to be thinking, psh, man, I ain't going to get nothing out of this. And so you ain't going to do it. Because remember, and I mentioned this a long time ago on one of the broadcasts, when you're studying the Word of God, there's two or three things involved. Number one, when you study, you're searching. Number two, you are meditating, okay? You're meditating. You're reading, okay? Reading, search, meditating, okay? If you're not in the faith, you're not going to do any of those three things, period. You're not going to do it with your whole heart. You're not going to put your heart in it. If you don't believe God for revelation when you study, you're not going to search the scripture, you're not going to read the scripture, and you're not going to meditate on it. Because we got to remember, and us to receive the revelation from the Lord, those three things need to be put into action. Searching, reading, meditating. Okay? Put that into action. You're going to get from the Lord. It's going to happen. But if you're not in the faith, you're not believing, concerning study, that you're going to get anything, then guess what? You ain't going to search, you ain't going to read, and you ain't going to meditate. So keep that in mind. Faith for study. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another blessed day you have blessed us with. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to present your word tonight. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord God, that, you know, you would look at your people at this hour that have heard this word and bless them to take it back to you. And then, Lord God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, that, you know, I have done the job tonight that you have me to do that would be pleasing in your sight. So, Lord God, I just thank you for another blessed day, another golden opportunity, another time that you have given. And, Lord God, may you water the seed that I have sown in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Don't forget, part two tomorrow night, spiritualist, reincarnation, divine judgment, eternal progress, and miracles. Look for the advertisement. The Lord say the same at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.